eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Here it is. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. I'm your host, Ricky Carmichael, along with my co-host, Ryan Villopoto. He is remote today.
Right.
And, dude, solar eclipse today, right?
I see that. Yeah. I'm out here in Vegas, actually, trying to get a couple days spring break with the boys, and then I'm off to MotoGP. So,
dude, that's going to be epic.
Yeah, it should be really good. I've actually never been to Austin for the MotoGP. Only, I think Catalonia is the only MotoGP I've been to. So epic weekend. So I'm looking forward to the whole week there in Austin.
You got a short week then, dude.
Dude, I know. It's back to back to back, man. I feel like it's harder now to be a dad and be in this position than it is to race. The racing was easy now that I
know. You know what's funny is like when we were racing, what was so nice. I mean, at the time it was nice. Anytime someone would ask, well, can you go do this? Can you go do that? Or like, nope.
Yeah.
Now, like now if we don't have anything going on, they're like, we don't have a built-in excuse.
I know. And I have a hard time saying no, because obviously it's good to stay out there, stay alive.
Well, I mean, you are the sports favorite retired guy.
I try to be,
isn't
RC.
Isn't that it? I know I screw that up all the time. What is it?
The best retired guy ever? I don't know what they call me. Something like that.
That's right.
There's a few of us out there.
All right. Before we get going today, we have a ton of questions that we are going to rip out, like we've always done on Title 24. RV, you know, this is what we kind of stood on with the back and forth and the fan engagement. We're one of the first people to do it, and we love it, and we're going to keep doing it. And we have probably 30 minutes for the questions. We're going to do rapid fire stuff. And I'm excited for it. We got some really good ones that lead into a couple topics. We got to thank Boxo USA, Quadlock, United Motorsports, and Dunlop are great sponsors of Title 24. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you that. But dude, an off weekend was nice. Some big news. Stepping right into it, the United Motorsports moment of the week. I will say, and this guy is certainly a fan favorite. I think he'll be in the booth eventually. But Adam Ciancerullo announces his retirement. I'd heard some rumblings of it, leading up to the announcement. But finally, he's made it official, and I'm happy for him. RV, I think he's had a great run. I think he's, for all intents and purposes, probably made a good living. He had a rough go. He had a rough go at it, but I always appreciated how he never gave up, and it seemed like he always gave it 110%. And just his passion and attitude that he had for the sport, his love of the sport, I really do feel like he enjoyed it much different than you and I did. So yeah. I'm pumped for him. Congratulations on the retirement. I mean, I can only imagine how we felt, I feel like. And that burden that was lifted off of her shoulder, and hopefully he feels the same way.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've got to spend a lot of time with AC, as an amateur and then early pros, and then obviously I retired, and he kept on going. So Yeah, one hell of a career for AC, you know, had some pretty highs and some pretty lows too, you know, so that's the struggle of the sport, you know, and like you said, he's always had a good attitude. He's one of the, probably one of the best speakers,
yes,
in our sport, you know, everybody, and everybody loves to listen to him. So, congratulations to AC, man. It's, you know, it was a one hell of a career.
Yeah. I sent him a text and, you know, it's like, everybody wants to be champions, and mm-hmm. you know, he had an epic amateur career. I mean, he was the absolute guy, and you know, you think he's going to be a championship guy. What, he comes out and he wins, I mean, pretty much immediately.
Yeah, I think he won his very first lights race there.
Yeah,
I think like literally the first one out.
Right, and so I mean, you think like, oh, dude, this guy, he was one of those guys like behind you. You were going to win all those championships. I'm like, well, he's going to be the next guy.
Yeah.
You just had to believe that with how successful he was in amateurs and then come out firing. But then the injuries started to happen. And this is what I text him, like, you know, I'm sure you wanted to win a bunch more. But at the end of the day, you still did what a lot of people could only dream of. And, you know, and if you're content with what you accomplish, it doesn't matter what you think, RV, what I think, that's all that matters. As long as you're content with what you did, bro.
Exactly. No, right? Yeah, no, 100%. You have to, I mean, look, you can always look back. I can look back and moves that I made in my career. I'm sure you can do that. Same thing. Look back at moves you've made and maybe I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done it like this, but you can't dwell on any of that stuff. You can't look back. You can't change the past. You gotta, you know, you look forward and say, man, I had a one hell of a career and had, some of the best times of my life. Probably AC's too, you know, like yours. We've been in this industry and we started what's unique about our sport too. And most sports at a very high level, I should say probably every sport at a very high level, but coming out of Loretta Lynn's and racing those, you know, 50s, 60s, 80s, 125s all the way up, like, your parents and the people that help you expect the same thing, just as expect what the factory teams expect when you do turn pro. It's just at a lower level. So, you know, when you see, when you look at his professional career, because you can't turn pro till you're 16, you know, he's been dealing, or we all have dealt with those stresses and the pressures of what the pros see and feel, but at 8, 9, 10 years old, it's just different, you know, but it's still racing. We still have to deal with those, the win, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, mm-hmm. You know, and dude, I can remember, I know you can too, go to Loretta Lynn's if you have an off week. You know, it's, you have a lot of pressure on your shoulders. That's a long drive back to, Seattle, Washington, 34 hours when you don't have a good showing.
Yeah. Especially like, you know, you go back to those amateur days and it's so gnarly, like, dude, your whole year was based around Loretta's. You could lay an egg at all the other nationals, but if you go to Loretta's and you do not perform, it's like you are judged on that one race. So you're exactly right. It could be if for some reason you don't perform to the level that your parents and your sponsors are expecting you to at Loretta's, it hurts. It's painful. Yeah. And dude, he had a lot of pressure going into the pros. And I think one thing that gets unnoticed and is like, he was always, you know, smaller in stature for a very long time.
Yes, he was.
All of a sudden, right? He shoots up to like over 6 foot. It seems like he's so big on the bike. So imagine, I always thought about this with AC, Ryan, is like, imagine being our size, our whole career, you know, we learn to ride a certain way. The bike reacts a certain way. And we have learned to ride based on our stature. So then you get AC where, dude, he goes from being short to a green giant.
Yeah.
It just like it had to have been uncomfortable and like trying to learn to ride a different way. Did you ever think of that? Like when you'd watch him, like, dude, how's he riding? Like,
yeah, no, for sure. Like, super minis, even when he moved up to big bikes, you know, that I had my place in Florida and we rode all the time together. And it's funny, mm-hmm. he was smaller in stature and then he you know, just grew like a weed. And the funny thing was, is when we still had him on a super mini, he would stay at my house during the week. And, we'd work out with Eldon, and Eldon was like, he'd look at AC's calf tib fib area and look at his arms and everything else. And he goes, dude, you're going to be tall. This was like when he was like 14 years old. He goes, I think you're going to be tall, dude. And he had ended up hurting something. So they had some x-rays. They got to see his growth plates and things like that. And he goes, that boy's going to be tall. And I'm like, there's
really,
Eldon called it when he was like 13, 14 years old. Yeah. He's like, this guy's going to be tall. And, dude, he nailed the nail right on the head. Yeah. He ended up sprouting up like, you know, later and, yeah. Becoming like, I guess he's probably almost, you know, 6 foot. So to your point, yeah, to ride a certain way for so many years and be a smaller human and then all of a sudden grow that quickly, definitely had to take a toll in some new learning and learning how to ride a dirt bike, being that much taller with that much more leverage. I know like we all saw, like, I think last year he went to a tall seat foam, which he said, I think helped him out quite a bit, you know? So just, even that much, that far into his career, still learning, still changing, still trying to improve, things to make him go faster on the motorcycle.
Yeah. I always, like, it blew my mind. It's like, just watch him. Like, I couldn't imagine learning to ride a motorcycle one way, a certain way, your whole career. And then the last quarter of your career, you're so tall and having to ride learn a new technique at the elite level.
Yeah.
So congrats, AC, on an incredible career. You're a great ambassador for the sport. I think he's well-spoken, and his true passion for the sport definitely comes out. And I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a great analyst. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he will consider that. And so, yep. Congrats, AC. While we're at it, United Motorsports, Aaron, roll that little logo up there. Make sure you sign up www.unitedmotorsports.com/title24 for a $15 little bonus for a first time sign ups. And then they'll be picking a special winner each week to add to the to your membership. They're giving away $50 each week. So make sure you check them out, and I'm sure you will be surprised at how well they do things and all the stuff that they have online. So check them out. Rapid fire, big dog. All right. We ready to go? Like, so we got a whole bunch. They've been stacking up. So I'm gonna reel you out five, and then how about you come at five with me? Does that sound good?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Right. Aaron's got it broke up into pretty good. We can jump.
That's right. Hey, happy birthday to our producer today.
All right, Aaron.
Aaron, happy birthday, brother.
36 years old, strong.
That's right. That's right. Happy birthday, my friend. You do a great job, and we hope you have a special day today. Another lap around the sun. All right, here we go, big dog. First question, Dylan Adonizio. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Oh, there we go. At the end of a rider's career, is it more physical or mental that leads to retirement?
At the end of a rider's career, I mean, it can be both, but I can only use myself as an example because I only lived through what I felt and, dealt with, but it didn't become the physical side. It became the routine side and the pressure and the mental side of it, you know, staying in the game, especially me going with four in a row, just waiting to get knocked off the top. You know, you try to do everything to avoid that and make sure that you, turn over every rock and every stone to make sure that you don't lose. But ultimately for me, it did become mental. The training part, we were all so fit. I was very fit. It wasn't the physical side of it. It was the mental side of it. And kind of, I've said this before, just being, pulled in 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different directions also while trying to produce wins and produce championships for yourself and your sponsors and your team.
Hey, Mickey's underscore D. He's chimed in a couple times. Now this is brutal. Now, I'm kind of actually glad that you got this question. Mickey's underscore D asks, with AC retiring, who's the most wasted potential that suffered from injuries. And I'm going to assume he's not talking about our man AC here, but yeah, with him retiring, who do you think?
Well, look, I'm not going to use the words as Mickey D used, as wasted potential. You know, because all these guys, they're given it their all. You know, they want to do the best. But I would say, from what I've saw and seen in the past, and like I said, I'm not going to use the word wasted, but potentially who I think could have done better. Or that showed really good promise at this point. And they're still currently racing, you know, they're not retired yet, but like, I'll use Austin Faulkner as an example. Like the kid has the speed, he's got the talent. He still hasn't figured it out yet. He's not retired. So it's not like, you know, he still has time to figure it out. But I will say that window's probably closing out a little bit, right? He's been in the lights class for a very long time. He still hasn't made it to the 450. And as everybody knows, you go from 8 rounds to 17 and then 11 outdoors. He hasn't seen the toughest part of it yet. I'll use Christian Craig as an example. One hell of a lights rider or 250 rider, you know, championship for Star Racing, hasn't progressed and hasn't shown, I don't think, his true potential in the 450 class. Now, will he? I don't know. I feel like he's been in this position. He's had great people, you know, that he should be able to produce that. So at the timing of kind of where, how long he's been in it and a lot of his injuries, you know, I think I was expecting more. You know, I was expecting him, especially after that championship at Star Racing, that Supercross championship, like for him to really make that next stride, especially in Supercross, because we know how talented he is. You know, he's kind of like another Kevin Windham. You know, him and Levi, Kevin Windham, all three of them kind of ride, you know, in my eyes, kind of similar. So, you know, I guess you could say those two are the ones that popped into my head very clearly.
I think one of the current riders, and then going across the pond, I think Jeffrey Herlings is that guy. When you think of just how many, what, GPs that he's won? Well, he's won 100, right? Maybe more?
Yep.
And he's lacking in the championship department. And all of those is because, you know, he's put his, I wouldn't say it's been completely wasted, but he's underperformed in the championship category.
And yeah, I mean, if you go off of race wins, to your point, Ricky, he should have many more championships. And a lot, some of it's stupid mistakes in just bad, you know, I hate using the word bad luck, because I think in life, you kind of make your own luck, with who you surround yourself and just making good decisions. But yeah, he's had a fair amount of injuries too. And some of the stuff is just, you can use the word bad luck, but, you know, it's I would agree with you there. He going off of his race wins, he should have many more championships.
Diacritic, do you think we'll see more retirements of veteran riders?
Well, I mean, I think it's that time, right? The pendulum is swinging, meaning, you know, we have Eli is older, Justin's older. Jason Anderson is getting older. We have a fair amount of guys that are like 28 to 31 years old. And not to say it's going to happen this next year, but within the next 2 years, I think we're going to see a handful of riders, retiring. It's just that pendulum has swung, you know, and then you'll see a bunch of, you'll see the 250 class kind of also take a change. And once those kind of guys move out, it opens up a bunch more seats in the 450 class. And then you'll have the older kids or older riders in the 250 class that are the 25s up to 28s will move into the 450 class once there's more seats available.
There you go. Wylos _ 22. Who's, you love the drama.
Yeah.
Who's getting Adam's Kawasaki seat?
I mean, there's lots of speculation around that. You know, obviously, Jason Anderson will still currently be there, but now AC announcing his retirement, and they have a seat that's open. And obviously, as we know, we saw Prado come over. We know he dunked his foot in the water in the pool and yeah. and kind of testing the temperature of how it is over here in the U.S. And obviously a major dream of his to come over and race Supercross, and he showed a lot of potential. So if yeah. I'm Kawasaki, I'm definitely making a run at Jorge Prado. There is some speculation that that they may have already made a run at him.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's we're hearing.
Yeah,
that's
if I'm hearing. Them, if I'm them, that's my move. That's who I'd be trying to. That's who I'd be trying to get. Especially, dude, if you guys follow the MXGP, you know, I think he's already with qualifying races on Saturday and overall wins in MXGP points lead already. Again, his outdoor skills are phenomenal. So he needs to improve his Supercross skills to run with those guys up front and win races. But they got plug and play system right there. If they can lock him down, outdoors is going to be very spicy if they do. And then he'll obviously learn, you know, the Supercross a bit more, and hopefully we'll see him up front there too.
He was incredible what he did, and that'd be a good play for Cowie. And they need another guy because Levi's not ready to get moved up. We don't know what Forkner's doing. We don't know what Forkner's doing either. So sadly, you can't really count on him that much. So maybe he'll get better, and maybe he'll be good at 450s. Who knows? But I think that'd be a good play for Cowie. Like I said, it's rumored that he's going there, and if you're assuming that he will be, I think you know they got to protect their future. I think that you know they got one more year after this year with Anderson, like you said, and you know maybe if things don't go well for Anderson, maybe Anderson rides off in the sunset or goes somewhere else. So if this is true and it happens, which there's a lot of smoke around this this rumor, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for Monster Energy Kawasaki. It'd be great for Prado. I think that the Supercross side of things might take some time, but I was very impressed with how he was able to stay healthy when he was over here, dude. So
really smart rider, man. I mean, you take a guy like that and drop him into the 450 class, zero experience in the 250 class in Supercross. Yeah. And, you know, man, the guy ran up front, had some strong finishes, you know, just at, you know, 8th through 10th, which I thought, you know, I kind of called that's where he would be, like the 8th through 10th spot, you know? So I was impressed, and the guy is a starter too. And as we know, you need to be a starter in Supercross.
Yep, you do. So do you have the rundown or no? Do you have a
Yep, I got it right here.
All right. So you're net, and so
I'm on.
Okay, I'm on the hot seat. Go for
all
it.
All right. Scotty McKinnon, Kitchen looked like a veteran. Will the 450 teams have him on their radar next year?
Well, I think that I think they will for sure, especially if he continues to do what he's doing right now and finish out the season as well as he's riding and then goes into the outdoors. 100%. I think that, you know, all the team managers, RV, when you look at him, he has incredible bike skill, and you just have to assume. I mean, if I had a team, I'd be looking at that. So, again, yes, absolutely. He's got to be on the radar, and his stock is going up for sure.
Yep. And that's something that, you know, back to the Prado thing, you know, Kawasaki needing to position themselves correctly to make a move when Levi can move up, right, and move into that 450 spot. So they need to position themselves, like, depending on what Jason does, right? If they hire Prado, then Prado's going to be a 2 or 3 year probably deal to get his feet wet, get him over here and get him established. And then on the way out, as Jason is on his way out, Levi should be in the lights class another year minimum. And then, you know, if they position themselves right, they could have Prado and Levi. So, yeah. All right. Ryan Fields, Cooper Webb seemed to be arguably the most consistent rider in Supercross in the last several years. Do you think that will be the determining factor when it comes to the end of the point standings and him coming out on top with a championship this year?
Ooh, I would say 3 weeks ago, probably. I mean, being consistent obviously is huge, especially in the 450 class. But with how fast Jet has been and just having that level step above most guys on his competition and a riding ability and just raw speed, I would say it would be hard to lean on that. However, how the last 2 weeks have gone. And if you look at things and how things are trending with the season, how you like Jet had like three or four bad races, then he went on a 3-race win streak, and then now he's on a 2-race like streak where he hasn't done that well compared to what we know and how he could finish. I would say that Coop at this stage is in a pretty good spot and can rely, like RV, you talked about it. You know, you have there's certain ways you win, and Coop is, he can ride the bike fast. He can rely on his race strategy and his experience and being consistent. So yes, I do think Ryan Fields that this is a great year for Coop to rely on those qualities.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, just because Jet, I think no matter what, if you go pull lap times, right, of the last few, some of these last few races, especially Seattle, I mean, guys, he had over a second and a half. I think I even saw like a two second gap. Yeah, right, where he's that much faster than the rest of the field. So Coop's got to lean on his experience. And like, as we saw, you know, some mistakes from Jet, and as now we have an 8-point gap, as we're closing out this series, you know, the pressure becomes, a lot more with only 8 points, you know, with the Barcia incident and the Jet incident. So now he's got a race also for race wins and the best he can, but he's kind of got a race behind him too. You know, he doesn't have that big points cushion.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
All right, Jason GMX, Tomac looked on fire. Do you think he can keep the momentum going until the end?
I think he can. I really do. He told us, and he said in the press conference that he'd been dealing with a foot injury, and I feel like he learned a lot. I go back to that second race in the Triple Crown when he was behind Jet. I feel like he has the ability to make the adjustments where it's needed, whether it's for sure some of it's going to be for himself and riding and how he approaches certain ways and how he's going to become faster. And probably maybe he learned how he can make the bike better to make that process easier of him being able to go faster. He's going to need the bike to do a couple things. So yes, I do think that he is going to continue this trend the rest of the series. Do I think he's going to win the championship? No, I don't, because I think that he's lost too many points. And at most of the time, these guys, the Cooper Webbs, the Sextons, all championship guys, RV, you know, they get super, super laser focused and the mistakes are less and the consistency is higher for these championship guys. So it's going to make it that much tougher for Eli. But I do think, Jason, that Eli is going to run up front a lot more. Loved his starts. Also, I think if he can continue to and maintain to get those good starts, we're going to see a lot of him up front.
All right. So we got Reckless Racing 71, Ricky's last win, St. Louis, Jeremy's last win, St. Louis, Tomac's last win, St. Louis.
I don't think it's Tomac's last win. That wasn't McGrath's last win. McGrath's last win was Anaheim 2 in 2001. That was Stu's last win, I believe. Mm-hmm. St. Louis as well. But Reckless Racing 71, nope. I think that I definitely think that Eli has another win, at least another one. I really do, especially if you go off of what we saw in St. Louis. You just have to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and give him the respect that he deserves, that he is going to get another win for sure, at least this season. Hopefully, for fans' sakes, he will continue to race next year. Hopefully, we'll hear some news on that soon. And I'm sure if he does decide to still race, he will get some next year also.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, Sean Adams, will Jet be able to handle the pressure now being in a familiar spot on the 450? Can Eli win out?
Eli can't win out. There's no shot. I mean, obviously he can, but yes. I just think with the field this year, no, I think it's going to be tough for him to do that. Yeah. Great question. Put me on the hot seat about, you know, can Jet, you know, is he going to be able to handle the pressure? I feel like he can. I really do. I feel like he can. Although, as I say, I feel like he can. I think I'm going to need to see. He's going to have to prove it to me. The wheel is definitely wobbling. Not sure what the injury status is. I mean, I saw that he was testing some MX with the HRC Honda team this week at the 83 compound. So that's good. But, I mean, I think it's going to be hard for him. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for him.
No.
And again, we're not covered. We're in all open air stadiums, and that I feel like that's kind of been the tail of the tape. The season is the weather and Mother Nature. So I think he can handle the pressure for sure. I don't think it's going to be easy, and he is in the soup right now for sure. But I think in the end, he'll get it done.
Yep, no, I agree. I think he's going to get it done too. So, all right, you're hit, Ricky.
Okay, all right. Kyle Hitchcock, 55. Do you think Jet is saved by no race last weekend after the rough round he had?
Yeah, I mean, I don't use the word save, but it's definitely nice to have when you have a bad weekend like that, and obviously getting essentially T-boned, not on purpose, but a full T-bone. It's nice to go back to the drawing board, obviously, you know, get some probably he didn't ride a ton that week, you know, probably pretty sore from the altercation there on the track. So, and also late in the season like this, it's nice to just not go to the race on the weekend and kind of decompress on Saturday, Sunday. So I think that's going to work into his benefit. Yeah.
Yep. NJP. And JP's always chiming in on Title 24. Love it. Why is Sexton struggling so much to find speed while Plessinger is performing better than previous seasons? Are certain riders better adapting to a bike change than others? Ooh, that's a good.
Yeah, that's a good one. And
what do you think?
Yeah, I think that that AP obviously has been riding very, very well this year. Some of his best performances in that 450 class and on that KTM. So, yeah. Been there for 2 years now. This is Chase's very first season, and there's a lot of things you don't get to see at the test track during testing, during riding on these motorcycles. You can only develop and learn certain things in race scenarios, on race conditions. So, yes, Chase has been struggling. He showed some potential. He showed a few really good races. Seattle was one of them where he was, you know, Coop and him both made a ton of mistakes, but they raced that thing to the wire. I think that he's still trying to find himself on that KTM. But the potential's there. He's got to quit making mistakes, and ultimately he needs to find just a little bit of speed to be there every single weekend.
Savannah Leach, 94. Will Chase be stronger in MX season on the KTM than he has been in SX?
Good question. You know, it's outdoors presents a whole separate bunch of issues. Potentially, what he's feeling in Supercross may not translate over to outdoors. It may be better. He may like the motorcycle better out there. They might find some things outdoors that will help for the motorcycle for Supercross, but it's going to be very interesting to see what his, how he races that machine out in outdoors, because we haven't seen him out there. But I will say that being that they have the development from Europe and in outdoors, where outdoors they definitely, you know, the European tracks I know are completely different. I know they have different rules, but there is a lot of things that I think that they can use over here in the US that potentially we might see a little bit not different motorcycle, but it may work better out there that could translate over to next year's Supercross. So I'm interested to see where he's at in outdoors.
I think he'll be pretty strong in outdoors. Yep. In my opinion, I think more time on the bike also.
Yeah, that too.
Garrett Nicott, what has been going on with Anderson? He'll be in third, then drop to fifth, then lower than that.
Yeah, it's actually I was able to kind of dive into some of that with some personnel and I asked, like, man, what's going on over there? That being said, I think he just needs to find that happy place, essentially. I think that you are correct. The inconsistency from Jason, I think Jason has much more potential and can do much better than he is doing. And I actually had him last year coming into Supercross. I'm like, man, when I was working with Ryder, I got to see him ride, and I was like, man, this dude is riding really well. But he hasn't been able to put it together on the weekends. I'm a fan of Jason, so I would love to see it, but I don't know exactly. I can't answer. I can't give you what you want to hear exactly the answer.
Hey, that was our Dunlop due diligence section.
That's right.
Right. That was, I appreciate you doing a little homework, getting down and dirty with the Dunlop due diligence and finding that little extra. I know, like, maybe you didn't answer Garrett's question at one. I mean, it's hard in situations like that, and what everyone, I'm sure they know, and it's frustrating for us on our side, is some things, for respect of the manufacturers and the riders, there's some things I don't think that needs to be shared, but then there's sometimes they won't tell us. They just won't tell us, like when they're injured or something like that. So good job. Good job, RV. One of my favorite tires, quick little Dunlop story before we go to the next question for you, is when I was at Honda, we were using Dunlops, and my favorite tire was the 756. And I'd run the front pack, hard pack front tire all the time, but the 756, that was my tire. It was consistent. It was more of an intermediate tire, but it was consistent. I liked how consistent it was, like on the turns and the sidewalls of it, where when Glover used to get so pissed at me, because like, we got this hard pack tire, it works 10 times better, it gets more grip, and like, they work so hard on tires, and they're always trying to evolve the performance of the tire. And dude, I just couldn't get the consistency from the hard pack tire that they would let me test, and he would always be so bummed. So we'd go to like Dallas or it didn't matter where it was, dude, any hard pack, and I'm like, put the 756 on, like, you're giving up traction. I'm like, yeah, but at least I know exactly what it's going to do and when it's going to do it. So I don't even know if they have a replacement for a 756, do they these days?
No, like, dude, we're way too, I don't want to use the word old, but that's long gone. Everything's different.
Really? Like,
my tire used to be the 62, the original 62 that Dunlop came out with. Same thing. I ran that sucker at Phoenix everywhere. I ran that thing everywhere. I'd run it till the knobs fell off of it, just because I knew exactly what it was going to do.
Yep. All right, here we go. Ken, this is my last one, then you take the helm. Ken Harwell, has Hunter underperformed, or is he where you thought he'd be at this point?
So if you go back to Hunter's 250 career, it took him a little time to get established with injuries, and it's almost, it almost looks like a carbon copy of what the 250 career that he had. It's taken Hunter a little bit longer to in the 250 class and this 450 class than Jet, right? So I think that he's kind of where I figured he would be. You know, and he's still dealing with some injuries. I know shoulder, ribs, I think recently, you know, where he couldn't ride during the week and things like that. So I see potential from him for next season. I think he's going to get stronger. I think he's just a late bloomer, if you want to call it that.
And then little bonus question, Aaron O'Keefe, and the reason you get the bonus, cause, it's expanding on Hunter. Do you guys think Hunter, Aaron O'Keefe 13, do you guys think Hunter will be in the title picture next season?
I think that's a big ask, with the caliber of riders. With the caliber of riders that are out there. I'm hoping that next year we can get Hunter anywhere from that third to fifth every weekend on the podium, fifth place on the podium, you know, somewhere in that juggling in that realm of positions. I think that would be a huge step forward, a huge confidence booster. And then, you know, year three in that 450 class, you know, maybe we could see a potential, championship, contender.
There you go. All right, dude.
So Huffins 450 SX.
Yep.
When was the last time the 450 premier class was this competitive? Changing of the guard?
Ooh. This competitive, I would say probably when you were in this in the championship series RV. Actually, you know what, dude? I say this, and I mean this respectfully to your competitors, but I always think you had them covered deep down in the heart, in their souls. You had them covered. So I'll go back to probably the last time I remember it being this gnarly, and I'm sure I'm going to mess this up, but I would say that year that it came down to what was it, Tomac and Dunge going for it down to the wire. I would say, yeah, like it hasn't been that tight since then. But this has been incredible this year. This has been incredible. So like, I mean, yeah, this is just unbelievable. Not knowing who the hell is going to win. And then after that, like 2006, my final season where basically it was winner take all at Vegas between myself, Stu and Chad. So that's what I have to say.
All right. Perfect. All right. So, Derek 982, with the East West showdown next week in Nashville, is there any rider that stands out over the others, others to win?
I think the guy right now is, I think the guy right now is Levi. I think it'll be a great opportunity for RJ to maybe try to gain points, but I just like where Levi's at right now. He can't be denied. We can argue his case all day long. I think McAdoo is better than, I think he's good for a win at that showdown. I really do. And then I think Danger Boy, I think you got to keep your eyes on him. His last race, even though he didn't get the result that he wanted, remember he didn't have the wrist brace on. His dad told me that was the first week leading up to that race that he had gotten to have a solid week of practice in. So, I think those three guys, it's going to be a battle royale. It really is. I cannot wait for that event. I think that hopefully Mother Nature is good for us, but I just think RV, as you know, I think, you know, controlling the emotions and from a championship perspective, especially if you're Levi, yes, you want to go out and prove a point, but you got to rein in those emotions and you got to think big picture. If the win isn't there, take the damn points. But those are the three guys that you need to be keeping an eye out for.
I agree. And that leads us right into the next question. Charlton 74, does Deegan dominate after having a solid weeks of training?
Yeah, Charlton, I think he does. I think he's going to be a new guy. I'm coming out of the gate swinging right now. Again, and the reason that I say that, the last time he raced, he looked better. He had more time on the bike. He wasn't wearing his wrist brace. So clearly, you know, the injury that he started the season off is getting better for sure. And I think we are going to see a better Hayden Deegan, or at least the Hayden Deegan that we expected from the get-go, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. And the next one, Marina In the reference to Mosman, why do you feel so many people get hurt more than others? Is it mental or just bad luck?
Sometimes we've talked about this on Title 24, Marina, that you make your own luck. Bad luck to me is like when you're going through a rhythm section and then somehow you get some other dudes going the opposite way and like takes you out for no reason or what have you, or there's a bike malfunction. I think a lot of it is mental. I think, the approach and maybe not being aware and race strategy. So 9 out of 10 times I would say is rider error. Mm-hmm. And just not being aware, not being in the moment, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yep.
I'm a firm believer most of the time that, you make your own luck. And, you know, a lot of these things, it might be from what we don't see during the week for the lack of their preparation. Maybe they're not doing what they need to be doing, or maybe they're doing too much. Maybe they're not focusing on their motorcycle as much as they should. I mean, there's a litany of things of why what they maybe could be doing better or what they're doing too much of. I'm not sure. We don't see a lot of the things away from the races. So, I'd say 9 out of 10 times it's on you and it's not just plain old dumb luck. That's for sure. Guess what, dude? You finally get to ask the quad lock question of the week. I don't have to ask it for you. So now I guess
go
for it.
All right. Yeah. So we have quad lock question of the week. Linda Orlowski.
Yeah.
Explain how riders and their families handle transitions from amateur to pro financially. Once mm-hmm. the rider goes pro and is making money, how is that usually handled?
Great question, Linda, and congratulations for winning the quad lock question of the week. Slide into Title 24 Instagram DM page. JH will put you in contact with quad lock and they will send you some stuff. So when you get it, make sure you check it out. Thanks for quad lock for being a partner of Title 24. Check them out, quadlockcase.com. Yep. They got great stuff. And look at, I got my case on. Little American flag magnet. That is a really good question, and it's deep.
Yeah,
and I think some of us are fortunate enough to have great parents that didn't want to make it about them. I am one of those people. So how it was for me, and I can only share my experience, is when I started earning like some bonus money from sponsors as an amateur for championships. My parents' local bank here in town started my own account, and all my earnings, even though they were spending money to get me places and get me to races, they would give me the bonus money. I didn't pay them back or anything like that, and they would put that money solely into my banking account. And when I went from amateur to professional, same thing. As soon as I started drawing salary from PC, all my payments went into my accounts. And I was 17 at the time. And so I was seeing everything go there to make sure, make sure everything was all copacetic and good. And that's how it normally was back in my day, is you your parents would start your own account and then all your earnings and monies would go in through that. And then shortly thereafter, I formed an LLC to where I was running all my stuff through a company and through that LLC for tax purposes and things like that. So that's most of the time how it goes. RV, I don't know if that's how it was for you. You hear these horror stories of parents kind of getting involved and scraping a little bit. And fortunately for me, my parents never did that. At the same time, while I say that, I was always making sure that my shiz was going to where it needed to go and wasn't lining anyone else's pockets. I love my parents. They would never do that to me. But at the end of the day, you have to be an advocate for yourself. That's how it goes, Linda. And that's how it went for me. I think that's how it should go for others. I do think, RV, and you tell me if I'm wrong, like maybe some of the management companies nowadays, like, the management groups will handle all the riders' monies and stuff like that. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think some of it now, like if you depend on what agency you are with, right? A lot of it can go through, or not a lot of it, but it goes through whatever is getting garnished, right? It'll go, your payments will go through, like say Wasserman or the family or whatever agency you're with, and then yeah, then it gets transferred over to your account. Yeah, it can become sticky. You know, there's like it's and a lot of it. I mean, look, I know there's always bad apples out there. But I also look at it. This is, if you're into motocross and you race motocross, and now that I'm a dad and of two boys, like my perspective has totally changed from when I was 18 and 19 years old. So, you know, my thought process is definitely way different than when I was 18, 19, 20. But I think a lot of, the disruption that can come from it is also comes from passion alone, right? Your parents, they obviously got all of us into riding for a reason. They loved it. You know, they loved riding. I'm my third generation. My grandpa raced, my dad raced, my uncle raced, I raced, my brother raced, and now my kids race. So, we love the sport of two wheels. And I think that can, we love it so much. Sometimes that can cloud, some of the parents' judgments, you know, I've seen it in the past. So, but yeah, good question, Linda. And we also have a quad lock, bonus question for Zach Culp, is his name. Go ahead, Ricky.
So this is really cool. Zach, you guess what? Quadlock is doubling up this week. They're giving away two things to two lucky winners. Zach Culp, he weighed in last week on the Barca Jet incident. He believed that it was a racing incident, but he also added he had a crash. Zach did in 2021. Unfortunately, he was paralyzed and would love to see if Quadlock can come up with something to hold on my phone to my chair. Thanks and love the show. Zach, I'm sorry to hear about your crash and your injury. I'm sure that you sound like a very positive person and you're making the best of an unfortunate circumstance. But you're damn right that Quadlock will have something for you. 100%. JH, just will take care of you. Slide into the Title 24 DM page, just like Linda's going to do. And we'll get you set up. I think that the best, I'll go out and say it, for Quadlock. They'll give you whatever you need. Go on their website and pick out whatever the hell you want. And, they will send you whatever you want, obviously within reason, but, whatever you think is best fit, and they might have an idea for you.
Yep.
They'll do it. So, we appreciate your loyalty, and being a fan of Title 24. And, man, if you're ever around the races, we would love to meet you, in person. Don't be shy, to come up to us and introduce yourself to us live and in the flesh. We'd love to shake your hand and take a picture with you. So,
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Paul Gilligan, regarding comms, Do you think the playoffs would be a good time for the AMA to trial one-way comms?
Well, it, right off the head, no, it would not be a good, no, it's bad trial and error, bad time to do it. I think that, I think the comms conversation and topic is, I mean, we're seeing more and more and more of it in literally in the last three weeks. And I know it's a big topic. And I believe that we need to start exploring those options. But no, it's the wrong time to do it on a weekend. I think these teams, we need to get a system of what system we're going to use and get that everybody up to date on that, get everybody whatever system they choose, get everybody that product, and they need to use it during the week. They need to use it during the off season. You know, cause I know I don't ride with earplugs. Never yeah. have. I know you don't RC, but a lot of these guys now ride with earplugs. I think it's, I understand why they do it. I like to hear my motorcycle.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I'd like to know when that I can hear something going wrong or who's behind me and things like that. But, there's special, obviously earpieces, ear devices. I know Cardo has a really, nice setup. So, my point is they need to get that implemented and the rules set, and then they need to get it out to these teams so that they can start practicing with them during the week and figuring out what they like, what they don't like. But I'm all for comms. I think it would elevate our sport dramatically.
100%. And to RV, you can do like molds of your ear.
Yeah.
And then they can like they can hollow out the mold to where you're not basically you're not plugging your ear. And so it's just piping the noise in, right? The mold like is on the exterior part. It's in the inner part of your ear, but it doesn't clog your canal. So like people like you and I who don't like, you know, impeding our hearing, they make molds like that are still open airways. Hey, real quick, before we get to Vincent Valdez, I want to go back to the quad lock question of the week. RV about Linda Orlowski and her question and the finances when you go from professional or amateur to professional, and a couple examples. JH, appreciate this. Lawrence is a good modern example of how dads stay involved this day and age. You know, I think they probably pay him a fee, or they pay a salary, and his duties are to make sure the track is maintained, make sure the bikes are maintained, and basically a general manager, I'm guessing. I don't know exactly what his role is, but that's one way if you want to give back, still running all the monies through the athlete, obviously, and no one's skimming, and you know, Jet and Hunter probably have the option to do what they want and who they want to hire. And of course they're going to hire their parents because of the sacrifices they made, a lot like with what I did with my parents. So my mom did all of my administration work for me, like booking all my flights and hotels and rental cars and just doing the accounts receivables and bookkeeping. Basically she did that. I paid her a salary for that. And that's what, you know, that was basically her, you know, her income. And then for my dad continued working until the last 3 years of my professional career. My dad had a 9-to-5 job with an electrical contractor here in town. So I eventually hired my dad in 2005. To work for me, and like basically he went to semi-retirement. So I hired him to work, you know, work for me, and that was the one way that I gave back. So just to expand on that. All right. Yes. That's enough. Vincent Valdez, Triple Crown. If a rider can't race in the first race of the night, should there be a provisional rider? Ooh, that's a good one.
So that being said, so you can't race in the first race of the night and you can't line back up for race two and three, correct? If you miss race one.
Well, no, I'm assuming that what Vincent is asking is if, because of how the qualification is. So say like all of a sudden, I'm guessing that, you know, something happens between after qualifying practice and after the last chance qualifying practice someone decides that they can't race, who would get a provisional? Is that
JH is filling us in right now. He's saying for the first race they have a provisional.
Oh,
he's saying
Boom.
So, I mean, Vincent, you put us on the spot here. We're going to probably have to go back and look at the little rule book there and kind of figure out how it would actually lay out. Obviously, if you qualify and you can't make the main event and you're going to miss all three main events, I presume they would fill the gate with the call it the fifth place guy that just missed it, right? Don't know exactly how that rule is written, but it looks like we have a provisional. Once the first race starts, they don't allow someone to fill in for the second or third race.
There you go.
So there it is. So if you do miss that first race, and if you don't let AMA know, for example, like you're hurt or whatever, and they don't have time to fill that, and you miss the gate, and they're loading the gate, and they drop the gate and they go and race, that means there's no provisional for race two and three. You're not filling that spot. So,
dude, I feel like this is a year. I don't feel like we've ever had to scratch through the old rule book like last season like we did this year, dude.
Yeah.
What's up with that? All right. R. Vollmer 992. With some tracks becoming one line, do riders have to be more aggressive to make passes stick?
I mean, I hear, and we hear some of this, the tracks, the dilemma with the tracks, the way you guys are racing. I mean, go, the great thing about YouTube, for our listeners is get on YouTube, go watch the Chicken and Bradshaw, go watch the RC and James or the Chad and James, you know, the early 2000s. Like,
are you guy? Yeah, I watched one the other day and you on YouTube, you freaking jumped to the inside and made a move. You have to be aggressive.
You have to be aggressive. Not and that's what's so exciting about our sport is watching these riders either slice through the pack or make these aggressive moves. So that's where, obviously there's a fine line in that. Like we'll use the accident, I'll call it the Barcia and Jet incident. You know, we all got informed that was not the intention of the outcome of what had happened. But yeah, that would be overly aggressive. That would be if he was going in to make the pass and actually, essentially hit Jet on purpose. Like that would be way over the top. But for our racing, the tracks being one line, like those, that's what's so interesting about Supercross and motocross. It's not like road racing. It's not like any form of asphalt racing where you come back to the track and the track's the same, but you just deal with temperature changes and things like that. We deal with the track deteriorating. We deal with the ruts. We deal with the lappers. We deal with all those different things that are thrown at you. And that's where I feel like, it's racing. You got to have easy tracks. You got to have rutted tracks. You got to have everything because cream always rises to the top. And when we see the end of this series come to an end, whoever's standing on top was the best Supercross racer in the world for this year.
Jesse Fleetwood. Okay. Why aren't good track layouts recycled? I like this question. So do you think what Jesse is asking do you think it would be cool if they did a carbon copy of the track if that track raced good? Like I talked about St. Louis. I think that they should do that exact same layout, same everything. Obviously, they can't do the dirt, but everything else the same. What do you think?
So I think that would, good layouts. I thought St. Louis raced well. We saw some more speed out of the riders, like just through the triples, through the rhythm sections, even though the track was kind of breaking down. I think you could take that exact layout, that exact track. You said it, you're going to go to a new stadium, which will be different dirt. And you could have a completely different outcome, meaning the track may not race as well. What if it was Seattle's dirt that would take St. Louis and put it in Seattle? Can you imagine what the race conditions would be like at Seattle? As we know, we saw ruts absolutely everywhere. They were foot peg deep. So to that point, yes, you could try to mimic, but you're not going to get, an apple for an apple. It's always going to be an apple and orange.
If you haven't yet, throw up that old quadlockcase.com logo up on there, Aaron. We're going to go to the, not quadlockcase, Boxo USA. If you haven't yet, check them out. I'm so ticked because I have this little thing that I bring on our adventure rides outside of the tool bag. It's like a small little square case. It's got all kinds of trick little tools in there. And I was going to show all you guys, but if you haven't yet, go to boxousa.com, check them out. And great company, great tools, lifetime warranty, and super easy process to get a warranty product or return if you need it. Probably won't because their stuff is so good. You're up, dude.
Yeah, Boxo breakdown. We have Bradley Leachman. Yeah. In years back, the tracks weren't as beat up and nasty as today's tracks. Any truth to this? It seems to be the racers and racing more of the track instead of each other.
Yeah, so that's a Bradley. That's a couple things. Number one, the 450s. I feel like they're going so fast. The pitch of the jumps and the steeper the jumps are, the more they're going to rut out. I feel affected. I feel like the 450s chew up the track a lot more than they have in the past because of those reasons that I just mentioned. I also feel, depending on where we go, I feel like the dirt has been wetter in general when they construct the track. Okay, that's another reason. And compared to years ago, I mean, you go back again, pull up the old YouTubes, and these tracks, some tracks were super hard, and then some were over the top, ruttier than what these guys are racing today. Like there were times I remember RV, like my first year, like Indy, for example, on practice day on Friday, we couldn't even jump the triples. Sometimes couldn't even double the triples because the faces were so ruddy. So you got that. The guys are doing a lot more laps. Myself personally, I feel like the guys get too much time on practice. I don't feel like they need to be out there three times. I feel like maybe they should have two longer practices, not three practices. And the reason that I say that, because you can watch these guys, it just becomes a competition for who has the fastest lap, and you are just asking for problems. Mm-hmm. So I think from a safety perspective, maybe they should consider getting rid of that warm-up practice for safety. Number one, I think that all these guys, 250 and 450, they figure the track out in three laps, four laps, five maximum. And so at that point, they're going as fast as they can to get on top of the board because that's going to determine their qualifying gate pick.
Yep.
So I think they get rid of that. That'll cut back on the laps. Maybe the track will hold up a bit more and it'll give more time for the SMX track crew to get the track work done. That's one thing that I think you have to put in consideration, and lime.
Yes.
You guys can remember Limegate at San Diego, I believe it was, when it was got mixed with the mud puddles and then blah, blah, blah. We go through all that. So they aren't using that application anymore. And that's probably another reason.
Yeah, that's a huge reason. I talked to Corey from Dirtworks, and it was actually down. I was down on the floor at Seattle, and as we all know, Seattle turned out actually super gnarly, but a really good racing condition, racing surface. But he had mentioned, he goes, if we would have the ability to use the lime at Seattle, for example, he goes, the track would be absolutely epic. The lime just creates heat with the moisture in the soil and firms it up and hardens it up. So you wouldn't see the ruts as deep. It eventually hardens up really nicely. Obviously they got trigger happy clearly with the lime gate, and we had some burns and things like that. I think that, I think it's a shame that we can't use it because there's certain tracks or certain scenarios that that I think would benefit the riders and the television, everything would help. But they had a bad incident with it a few years ago, and I guess now that the part of the rule is they're not allowed to use it. So I think that to me is one of the biggest things is instead of 20 laps, it's 20 minutes. So you get another 5 to 8 laps depending on the lap time and the lime. That to me, that's the biggest.
Yep. All right. Go for it. What's my next one? Big dog.
All right. Hey, AJ, the old, would getting rid of the start device slow everybody down enough to make the first turn pile ups less?
Okay. I think that it would separate more. I do. Guys are going to be better than others with technique, with no starting device, manipulating the clutch. I think you have two things. I think that the starting device definitely is an equalizer because it doesn't wheelie. They are going to have more speed coming in. I do think, though, these 450s are so fast, even once they do get set, and depending on the length of the start, maybe that they're still going to be going fast. I don't think it'll make much of a difference on the longer start straights because they accelerate from, you know, 1 foot to 20 foot, boom, like that. So I think there would be more separation. I do. I don't know how much it would change on the speeds, though, on the longer straights.
And what I think it would do, Ricky, what I think it would do potentially is, instead of having your first turn, actually first turn pile up, you mm-hmm. potentially may have like mid straightaway potential mm-hmm. tangles. And the reason why I say that is without a starting device and these bikes running, you know, 65 to 70 yep. horsepower to the rear wheel, you're going to have a lot of guys getting off balance mid straightaway, trying to lay the power down, trying to, you know, manipulate the clutch and throttle and lay as much power down as possible. And that's when you kind of get the guys that can kind of veer left and right because they're off balance because they don't have the starting device. So mm-hmm. you might see that mid straightaway ish or right out of the gate, potentially more, you know, tangling of the bars mm-hmm. that, you know, I think it's like drag racing, right? I look at it as like drag racing. Now there's certain cars you can't go up to the box without a wheelie bar.
Right.
There's certain things like that. It's just part of the sport. It's not going anywhere. It is what it is.
All right.
All right. We have AB Hallett. What proper settings matter more for you, front or rear suspension?
For me, I would say without a doubt, I was more sensitive to the rear end. How I like my setting, completely unorthodox and not conventional to what the engineers and what the data said I should run. Real a lot of sag, especially in the two-stroke days, Honda and late Cowie days for me. An example: slow, low, soft, and just if the thing isn't blowing the rear fender off, it's too stiff for me. If the thing is stiff, the throttle goes the opposite way. Again, back then I wouldn't recommend my setting for anyone to try that setting, but that was me. Looking back on things, I wish I would have been a bit more open to trying a more traditional setup. However, I needed to do and run what made me comfortable to twist the damn throttle. So I was a rear end guy.
Yep. I also think, Ricky, too, you can speak for your Triumph. I'll speak for my Yamahas. And when I was pro, I'd cut the subframe. I was sensitive to the rear of the bike being too tall. And I wanted my forks to be pretty stiff too. So I kind of had a weird setup. Jake couldn't ride my setup. I think Davey tried to ride it and he's like, dude, I don't know how he rides this thing once he went over to Cowie. But I will say that I can take my Yamahas off the showroom floor right now. And I'm sure your Triumph's the same. The evolution of how things have gotten so much better. I don't cut the subframe anymore. I can literally take a 450 or a 250F and take it out to the track and run with like local pro speed. If you take my 2011 Kawasaki off the showroom floor, and we would do it because we had to do photo shoots, I could barely ride it. You know, I could get photos on it, but I couldn't ride it without the subframe cut, the shock shortened to mill. There was a lot of things you had to do to make them rideable, where now I think they've fixed all of those things per se.
I agree.
All right. So we have next one, Jeremy from CA. How will future riders help elevate the sport like Jet, RC, etc.? What's the next level?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I think Jet's race riding ability on the motorcycle is going to be something that changes. Sitting here thinking RV, I don't know what would be the next evolution of someone like Jet. As I say that, then you take a guy like Hayden who comes out and is completely different. Mm-hmm. And what if he comes in there and with all that aggression isn't as precise as Jet, but is willing to hang it out and just gets the job done. So does the pendulum swing that quick with what's the new thing or what's going to change the sport or elevate the sport? It's hard. It's hard to see that. I'm interested in to see how that's going to play out, because you did see this wave of riders, like they're doing a lot of things, or they're trying to do ride like Jet. But then I see how Hayden rides, and he rides completely different. And
it's more like us. Yeah, it's more like us.
More like us. He's going to bulldog it, and it works for him. So if he comes out and he starts having a lot of success, does it go back to the way you and I raced?
Yeah, and it very well could. I think for the evolution and the next step is, it might not necessarily be from the riders. It's comms. It's the things we've been kind of talking about to elevate the sport as a whole, right? Like, I don't know if it's like, I consider me still being in this era of these riders. And why I say that is because the bikes were pretty good. They were fuel injected. There hasn't been a big evolution change for the better, in the motorcycle, on the motorcycle per se. I raced fuel injection, and that was the last big, change on the motorcycle. Right. So we don't know what's in the pipeline for changing, but I would say the comms and elevating the sport as a whole.
I like that, dude. Good. So, damn right.
Yeah.
100%. Right. You're probably right, dude.
Yeah.
Straight up.
So, all right. Next one, Preston Harvey 98. How does Club MX compare to the factory teams?
So I think this day and age, and from what I can see from Yamaha is, a lot of that stuff, I don't know how much that Star is getting from actual Yamaha. I really don't. I know they have some intelligent people at that on that race team working on those motorcycles. The results speak for themselves. It's no secret how fast their bikes are, especially 250. So I don't know how much, like back in our day, how much support that, say, Yamaha is getting or Yamaha is giving to Star or to Club. I would say there's probably a tier that they, if they're get, say they're getting $1 million worth of support, maybe that Star's getting $800,000 of that and $200,000 of that is going to Club. I don't know. However, I want to tip my hat to Club MX and that FXR muck off team. They've done a really good job over there. They really have. And you can see that team getting better and better. They're really good, I feel, at getting guys that say maybe a seventh or eighth place guy and making them getting to close to like podium contenders all the time. So they've done a great job over there. I respect what they have done. A lot like what Star did, like they did a lot with a little, in the early days. Now they're the pinnacle. They're the top team in the paddock for the most part. And if you look at it, I feel like Club has kind of done the same way. So that's the difference. They just, they're probably getting less support from Yamaha, but enough to still be helpful. And it just comes down to people and sponsors and money, and, money buys speed.
Yeah.
And, that's what I see. And that's the difference, but they're doing a really good job.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
All right. So
next. I think I'm up next, dude.
We got two more, bro. We got Z and AA, and then you got the finish.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right. You're going to like this one because we've talked about, I've heard you talk about this one. So Sean Adams, do you think having an option clause in contracts like other sports would help riders and teams be able to make manufacturer changes by being able to trade or buy out of other contracts?
Yeah, I think that I think we should have a trade agreement or some type of situation, because okay, say you're the Yamaha factory guy and I'm the Triumph guy, and you have a guy that I want, right? And vice versa. So you're not gonna do a deal with me that you're not happy with, or I'm not gonna do a deal with you that I'm not happy with. So then the trade doesn't work. So like I read some stuff about, oh, trades would never work, blah, 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 outside sponsors. In some cases, the outside personal sponsors might affect it, but I don't think it would as much as what some may chalk it up to be. However, no one's going to do a trade deal if they're not happy with it. So exactly. That's what I'm saying. We're agreeing to it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to trade you this guy for this guy. And you're going to be like, okay, what's the money? The money's this. Okay. Are you happy with this, RV? Yep. RC, I'm good. All right. Boom. We're cool with this. All right, dude, you're headed to Yamaha and you're coming to Triumph. I like it. I think that it would work out easier than what most would think. I really, truly believe that.
I did. You know, back to that question, a couple of questions of what would elevate the sport, what would change the sport. Like, this is another one of those conversations, like I just mentioned comms. This is another thing, another interesting thing to think about. What if, you know, how would it play out? I think it would be very interesting. I think it could be really cool too. Like you said, I think it would work out better because riders aren't going to move if they are happy, and they will move if they are unhappy, or, you know, like vice versa. So you don't know. I think it'd be crazy to see. I mean, I think I think it would happen also more than you would anticipate too.
Yeah. I guarantee you there's people in this sport right now that are team managers, team principals right now that are like, damn, I'd like to trade. I'd like to cut bait with the dude that I got right now and hedge my bets against this guy. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think so too. Yep.
So our co-producer's saying, but our riders are independent contractors, so we would have to change the entire nature of the sport as we currently operate, which I don't know why we would have to change, even if they are independent contractors. If both manufacturers are willing to break the agreement
and buy out
or whatever it is, assume the risks and intricacies of the deal, I think that it would happen. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I think it's easier than what we think. I don't think we got
to read it. I like it. So we got one more. Borden 210. What's your favorite race to go back and rewatch?
I mean, dude, I like watching a lot of different. I like watching little clips that pop up on YouTube of like the O'Mara RJ days, or like Chicken days and Bradshaw days, Stanton days, early McGrath days. I like old stuff like that. Yep. I like old stuff like that.
All right. Yeah. No, I do too. All right. I'm up.
All right. AV Huff. What do you think sets the tracks apart from Jeremy McGrath era to yours, Ricky, and RV to now? How are they challenging this new generation of riders and bikes in ways that would have previously been impossible by comparison?
Yeah, so I think that it's very hard to compare, and it's very hard to, like, they've adjusted the tracks based on the horsepower and the speeds and the evolution of our riding. But I do think that if you were to go back and go to YouTube and pull some of the older early 2000s, late 90s stuff, like there wasn't, obviously they weren't quadding anything, but they also built some of the jumps like that there was only like a double or only like this massive tabletop over single. Like there were some interesting builds back then where there was only, call it, one option. But I think you can't overlay what the previous, because our bikes are so much different, and the talent and the way these riders and what they jump and the corner speed, and now they're four strokes instead of two strokes. It's not something it's not something that I think you can overlay over each other and pull this from back in the day and be like, oh, we would have better racing with this track. Cause I don't think that would be the way, honestly.
Yep. Austin Justice, do we need more indoor stadiums? 2024 Supercross is strange. Huge ruts at every track.
It is, but I mean, you said it early in this show. We've been so, with the weather this year, we've had so many unknowns coming in, and we've had ruddy conditions based on how much moisture either Southern California's had and we've always, once you go East Coast, the dirt is, it's colder outside. You bring it into, say, call Lucas Oil Stadium. They've been in a cold snap. It comes in, it melts. That's the point of the lime, is to kind of help that and firm up the dirt. But yes, if there was an interview with Dave Prater, that I watched, and he had said that the trend over the previous, say, call it 10 years, was a lot of open stadiums. And that's why you're seeing a lot of open stadiums, from what he had said. And it kind of looks like now the trend is kind of circling back to doing more covered stadiums. And his words were, he goes, I hope there's, you know, more covered stadiums in the future. Just because it takes the weather element out of our racing, and it gives a better show. But I also think you need to have the open stadiums for those weekends that are, you know, where you take the points and you just kind of throw them in the air, and wherever the cards land is where they land. It's a good, the mud is always an equalizer.
You got to read the next one to me, brother.
All right. DC freshness.
Yeah.
Why does the broadcast team always use the nosebleed angle camera during the races?
Dude, they're just dogging on my broadcast team and our director there, everyone. Like, I mean, they don't, well, first of all, they don't always use the nosebleed camera angle. So let's get that out on the table. There's perspective. There's certain angles that we can only get from the higher cameras. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of intricacies that go on to a broadcast, as you guys know. They try to do the best that they can, given the circumstances and the availability and our assets that we have. So, although it might seem like the overhead cameras happen a lot and like it's way up in the nosebleed, that's not actually the case. I mean, think about the drone shots that we had. Yeah. Dude, we wore out that drone in the last 2 weeks or the last two races, I would say. I think it's an epic, epic view, especially when they're following. You can really see, I think for the first time in a long time, it's given a really true perspective to what RV the riders are going through and what they're trying to see going through the rhythm stands. You really get a good bird's eye view of how gnarly the ruts are and the speeds that they're going. So I think you're going to see a lot more of those where we can use drones. Not always can we use drones, depending on what venues that we go to. So cut our broadcast team some slack. They do a good job and they're not always in the nosebleed, but DC freshness, I appreciate your comment And I will, I know some of the people on that broadcast team watch our podcast. So they'll be listening and they will consider your thought. So thank you.
Yeah. Let me add to that a little bit, right? It's like, take, you know, if we don't have those perspective views, those different views, and I look, I'm not in love with all of the different camera angles, but also too, the drone's something new. And all I can say is we could go back to just having each camera down on kind of on the track or camera angles. And only all you get to see is like either head on shots or a side, mm-hmm. side angle shot of through a rhythm section. Like the perspective that you get now and what you get to see, is it fully nailed down? No, it makes it always get better. It's evolution, right? They're gonna make it better. Technology is always changing. It's the most rapid changing thing current to date right now is technology and electronics. So it's gonna get better, but I would rather see what I'm seeing now than just have side angles and straight on angles and missing, call it some areas, depending on how the track's layout is and track design, you might, they can't put cameras to get everything. So you might miss 15 feet of like, say a whole corner
yeah.
or like this area. So they're trying to give the fans and the viewers, a real perspective of the track. So is it 100%? Is it the best thing since sliced bread? Maybe not yet, but it will be, right? It's going to get better. And it's just the evolution.
Two more questions.
All right.
Gordon 120 for RV. Would you recommend a top US rider to go over to the GPs like you did? It's a good question.
It's a good question. So I think that, I don't know, if my kid was racing, you know, I think it was one amazing experience. I should have, if you have that inkling of a thought that you potentially want to do that, I think I needed to do it earlier than my last season or my last, you know, bit of racing. But I do think that guys that struggle in Supercross that are good outdoors, let's say, mm-hmm. I think it's something to consider. I think your life experience, that you will get over there and the things that you would see is completely different than here in the US. It was a lot of fun. Was it a struggle? Yeah, it was a struggle. Was it hard? Yeah, it was substantially harder than racing here and more to the lifestyle of trying to get, you know, amongst living in Europe and the language barrier and everything like that. But, I do. I think it was a really cool experience that I had. So if somebody came and asked me, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing this," I would say, you know, I would give them the pros and the cons, but I would also tell them it was one hell of an experience.
There you go. Last one, Blake R. Austin. Does Prado's 24 MXGP season start make him the main championship contender for Jet Outdoors in 2025? Ooh, I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to say that what I see from him outdoors, I mean, like I said, he's points leader currently. He just won Sardinia, which is a pretty gnarly sand track. And he's got the points lead. He's won most of the races this year already. His skill level, his speed, I think he will totally race with Jet. Now, I'm not sitting here saying he's going to beat Jet, but I think he is going to race Jet. If he comes over in 25, I think he's got a shot at winning a handful of races.
Right. There you go. Aaron, get to it, big dog. Let's show all these beautiful people what we got cracking on NBC this week. Super Motocross on NBC Thursday, as you guys know, always the SMX Insider Show with Weege and JT. That'll be on their YouTube. So check that out again, Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And then this weekend in Foxborough, it's going to be great. 1:30 p.m. Eastern is RDL qualifying. That'll be live on Peacock. And then the show starts 7 p.m. Eastern on live on Peacock as well. It's going to be a great one. Let's hope that the Mother Nature cooperates for us. So, yeah, make sure you guys check out SMX Insider. They always have good stuff and getting late into the week. Seems like some drama always unfolds throughout the week. So, and check us out on Peacock. But it's been a good episode. Thanks again to United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Boxo USA, Dunlop. Remember, you guys can always check us out on the Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page as well as Peacock. We are on demand on Peacock, so you can go back and watch any other episodes that you haven't seen. And we're on all audio apps platforms. So whatever you listen to your podcast on, we're on all those applications. So give us a shout. We appreciate all of you guys. RV, that was a lot of questions. We've had the drama has been so good this year in the racing that there were so many questions that we had off to the side that we needed to get to. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. There were some really good questions, and I feel like it gave us good stuff to talk about, right?
Oh, totally. Actually, like these off weekends, we don't get a lot of them, right? So we're always trying to keep up with the current, what's currently happening. But these off weekends, really cool to be able to go through all these questions. And like you said, it generates a lot of, and it makes us think too, generates good stories. And, you know, the rapid fire, like we get to get a lot of questions in. So I like the setup we have going on, Ricky.
Yeah, I think it's going great. Hey, we're going to have more questions throughout the year, fan questions, as I say. And, dude, our Instagram page has grown. We got over 20,000 followers now. Appreciate the comments again and engagement. And that's it. That's it for this week. Thank you for all the support, RV. Have a good week.
And, all right, buddy, you too.
That's right. Thanks, brother. We'll do it again next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.